give you a very warm welcome to the meeting tonight. Thank you for coming. I want to read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, please. The book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Our reading is verse 10. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. Yet settest thou not. There is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not free. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet settest thou not. There is no hope. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. This is a contrast you'll know between Gentiles and Jews, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. It is a most plaintive, ancient scripture that reads, my days are spent as a weaver's shuttle, and are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. It is a tragedy to live without hope. And yet we have read of a whole class of men and women in Ephesians chapter 2, and they are without hope. They have no hope. And very clearly what the apostle is speaking of is the eternal world to which all of us are going. Every one of us is living here only temporarily. The ultimate question of living is where you will be when living is over. The ultimate issue that we are dealing with night after night as we preach the gospel, the ultimate question of living that you must answer from the Word of God is, where will you be when you leave this world? It's not that we are unconcerned about the things of this life, but we are insisting tonight that there is a greater concern that has top priority. It is the concern about the world to which you and I are going. We can be absolutely certain about that world. There was one who came from that eternal world. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He came to tell us very clearly that in that world there is a heaven, and there are going to be men and women in that heaven, and they will know that they are going to that heaven. But make it abundantly clear as well that there is only one other alternative, and that is hell. How serious then is the message conveyed in these two small words tonight? No hope. Well, what is the reason why men and women are without hope? Could crisis tonight, that it is not because they simply have not learned enough. It is not a question that they simply need to get a little better grip on Christian teaching. It is not a matter that they need to adopt a more optimistic outlook on life and have hope about life and just be kind of bright in their outlook. Paul makes it very clear when he says, be without hope, because they are without God and without Christ in this world. Yet, well, that is not asking whether they ascribe to Christian doctrines. But that is raising the question that I want to pose for you just at the present moment. Do you have Christ? Is Christ your personal Savior? It was not the case that any of us were born with Christ as our Savior. No matter whether your parents were Christian, no matter whether your father was a preacher or whatever, my friend, could I tell you tonight that you and I were not born with Christ the Savior. If Christ is your Savior, then there was a time when He became your Savior. He becomes the Savior of men and women by personal faith, so that I can look back to the time when I received Christ. He became my Savior. By faith in Him, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not asking that you have my experience, but for the Word of God, I am insisting tonight that there must be a movement in life when you have received Christ, or you are without hope. It really goes back to the Garden of Eden. It goes back to the fact that in disobeying God, man has turned away wholesale. The whole family has turned away and is without hope before God. It is not tonight that we are suggesting to you that you should have a different religion than you have. We are not telling you tonight that you need to somehow or other think more about the world that is to come. Men and women are without Christ, not because they have failed to be baptized, not because they have failed to say the right words in a prayer. Men and women are without Christ because they have, first of all, never realized their need of Him and never received Him to be their Savior. You see, if men and women are just sliding through life and just overlooking the realities of the world that is to come, then you see that they would have very little interest in Christ. If men and women figure that everything's going to turn out all right, likely, I mean, most everybody that dies goes to heaven from a Christian land like ours, so they say, and that's the way it is at funerals. All the funerals, they read the same thing, and then everybody that dies goes to heaven, obviously. So they say. And yet, could I tell you, in your favored country, the majority of men and women are living and dying without hope. They may have a deceived hope for the world that is to come. I think that is the most tragic thing. That is the thing that burdens us as we preach the message of the gospel. Lest there would be anybody who would come to the tent with a false sense of hope for the world to come, and we would leave you undisturbed. And as you leave the tent, you still have a hope that will suddenly one day shatter when you leave this world and go into eternity. Could I ask you simply and plainly tonight, upon what are you basing your hope for the world that is to come? The Lord Jesus tells the story of two men that were building their houses. They both had hopes for the future. They were both expecting, as a result of their work, they were both expecting that when the storm came, they would have shelter, refuge, comfort. One man goes about his building and his house goes up quite quickly. Another man goes about his building. He's a little more fussy just for the moment, because this man is digging deep. This man's building his house upon the rock, so that actually he is basing his hope for refuge from the coming storm. He is basing it upon a rock that will never shift. This just man without a foundation built his house. So I hardly need to tell you that when the storm came, the rains descended and the floods rose and the winds blew upon that house, I hardly need to tell you that this man who was simply building without a foundation lost his home. He lost everything. Great was the fall of it, says the Lord Jesus. This man that is building upon a rock that will never shift is the man that has hope that lasts in the midst of the storm. What is the meaning of all of that? The Lord Jesus says, "He that heareth my word and doeth it." It's men and women that are responding to the word of God. Men and women whose hope is built upon the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. Simply trusting what God said in His Word. The hope. And the hope will never be disappointed. Set on hope. Based upon the unchanging Word of God. What are you hoping in tonight? Hoping that God is merciful and therefore you will not be in hell? My friend, tonight God is merciful, but that will never keep any man or woman out of hell. The same merciful God that is revealed in this Bible, waits for the judgment to come. His mercy will not keep men and women from the darkness and hopelessness of an endless eternity without Christ. Are you hoping in your good character in order to take you to heaven? I would not be able to go over all that could be in the minds of friends in the gathering tonight. But let me simply clear it all away and tell you that if you are basing your hope on anything, that the Christ who died at Calvary plus nothing, you are without Christ and have no hope. That's very direct. And yet this evening our interest is to bring men and women to face this solemn reality. Without hope. Having no hope. Let me take you just for a moment to the grave side at which we are gathered in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For Paul is writing to believers, people who are genuinely saved, but they have loved ones who have died. And Paul says there's one difference between you now and before you knew Christ. Before you knew Christ, you were as others that have no hope. But oh, what a difference now that you know the Lord Jesus. Those who believe that Jesus died and rose again, those that are trusting alone in the Christ, whose sacrifice at Calvary has fitted them for the mansions of heaven, watch this prayer. You don't sorrow as others that have no hope. You have hope at a time of grief. Wonderful thing, you know. Whatever the griefs and disappointments of life may be, it is a wonderful thing to have hope. There are some loved ones of mine. And when we made the last journey to the grave, with the last remains, we went without the certain hope that we would see them in heaven. There are some loved ones in the meeting this evening who will understand very clearly what I mean. If somehow, some way, suddenly you were taken away into eternity, you would leave behind loved ones. And no one would say it to the nearest and dearest to you. They would be afraid to touch the subject. Too sensitive. But quietly they would look at one another and they would say, as far as we know, he died without hope. I want tonight to remind you of the dreadful reality of what we are dealing with. Men and women to leave this world with no hope for the world that is to come. To slip away when you have not the power to retain life and to find yourself suddenly finally, completely slipping away into the next world, and there's no hope of what is to come. Nothing to look forward to but the endless night of gloom and sorrow and judgment from God. If I were to try tonight to take you to the gloom of that awful, awful place called hell, could I tell you tonight that one of the most tragic words that must ever cross the mind of a soul in hell must be these words that are my text tonight. No hope. To think of awakening in a place and to know that it is real. To know that what you have dreaded all your life long as a possibility has now taken place. As a boy, I used to dream at times of dying. Sometimes I dreamed of what would be after death for me because I was not saved. My sins would have taken me down to hell, and I used to awaken sometimes in the middle of the night. It was an awful difficult thing to get back to sleep. As I thought of what it would be like to find myself finally lost in such a place. I have tried to understand what it must be like when the moment finally comes and there's no waking out of a dream. And all the prayers of loved ones and all your intentions that one day you would be with them in heaven are now finally gone from you forever. And you look onward to ages that cannot be numbered. And one word, two words loom so dark amidst the flames of that awful place. No hope. No ray of light shall brighten thy doomed and dark abode. No ray of hope shall lighten the overwhelming load. To unmixed indignation and judgment from the throne, unmixed by hope or mercy, 'tis wrath and wrath alone. Let me soberly and solemnly speak to all that are in the gathering tonight. It may be this evening the first time we have had the privilege of telling you of the Savior. And our interest is in your knowing for certain that you are saved and safe for eternity. But could I tell you clearly that if you die without Christ, if you miss the Savior, the one and only way to heaven, that eternally these words will be stamped across the horizon as thousands and billions of years will roll their course. No hope! No hope! My soul is endlessly, eternally, irretrievably lost in the darkness of hell. But let me take you for a moment to the very gates of heaven. Let me tell you this evening that salvation awaits every soul in this gathering. That because of what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary, salvation could be yours tonight just where you are sitting. What I'm concerned about is, and the reason for reading the passage in Isaiah chapter 57 is this. Let me just lift what the prophet says. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. Here is a people that has been going along in their own way without regard to the word of God. And yet he says, thou saidest not, there is no hope. They're going on in their own struggling. They're going on in their own way. And they refuse to come to this place of realizing that if I continue to go as I am going, there's no hope. I have thought that this way would prosper me. I have thought that if I just could live this way, if I could just get away from my parents, it may be in the case of some, if I could just have freedom to do this as I wanted to do, and all kinds of things like that, and they fail to come to this point of finally saying, there's no hope. I cannot have peace if I go on as I am. I cannot have heaven at the end if I go on as I am. There are some people in the meeting tonight, and you likewise are trying your own way. You're struggling away in your own way to get God's salvation. Struggling away with the tug of war with the Almighty. Struggling to get God to think as you think. Struggling to get God to act as you think He ought to act. Could I tell you tonight that it's time for you to realize there is no hope. There is not the slightest possibility of hope that God is going to save you in the way that suits you. There is not the slightest glimmer of possibility that you are going to be able to survive and somehow bring God to bend to accept your way of salvation. Thou hast wearied thyself in the greatness of thy way, and thou saidest not, there is no hope. For I would tonight there were some in the gathering who would finally come to this place. Paul's journey in Acts chapter 27 will illustrate the principle I have in mind. He was working away, or those on board the ship where he was, rather, were working away. They were doing their very best to lighten the ship. And the reason they were doing all this was because the ship was in a storm. They were in danger of going down in the open sea. And the sun and the stars and the moon have not appeared for many days. And so many people who have gotten God's salvation will understand exactly the application I am making when I quote to you what Luke says about that journey. When all thought that we should be saved was taken away. When all thought that we should be saved was taken away. The problem was they were going to save themselves by their own working, by their own efforts, by their own doing. And God was waiting graciously. Let me tell you, God was waiting graciously because God intended to save them. But they would never be saved their way. They would never be saved by their own doing. And let me tell you tonight, dear friend, until you are willing to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself by your own efforts, that you cannot figure out God's salvation, and in that way obtain the salvation you need so much. Whatever it may be you are thinking, whatever it may be you are doing, could I simply tell you, you will never hear the word of God. You will never receive the assurance of salvation until finally you come to the same place that mariners came to in the open sea, when all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. There is no future in what I am doing. There is no hope of getting God's salvation the way I am. I must abandon my own course. I must turn from my own way. No hope. I remember a young man comes from the area where Mr. Higgins lives. Mr. Higgins had preached to him many times, and he came to a conference 300 miles nearly to the north. A friend who had been getting him out to hear the gospel arranged for him to fly to this conference, and he was very upset about flying. He never flew before, and he was sure the plane was going to fall out of the air at any moment. Held onto the seat for all the good that would have done him, and he was greatly relieved when finally the plane touched down and he was at his destination. But he came with one thing in mind when he came to those meetings. Because of the space involved, there was a gospel meeting arranged, but there was no prayer meeting arranged because there was really no place for a prayer meeting, not enough space. But there was one person that was having a prayer meeting that night before the gospel meeting. Away up in the balcony where nobody would see him was a young man praying to God, crying to God to save him in that meeting that night. He reached the point where he could go no further. He must have God's salvation. And after that meeting and a conversation just by the back doors of that building, that boy just simply turned to what God said in His Word. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. and was saved for eternity. Would to God there were some soul in the gospel meeting tonight that would be willing at the end, at the extremity of their own working, at an end of all their efforts and ideas, would be willing simply to come to this place. There is no hope. In my own effort, there is no possibility. I am on a pathway that is doomed to destruction and endless night. Just at the moment when that company on the sea was brought to the place where there was no hope, God gave His Word. Now I can tell you tonight, we're not suggesting that you somehow play a game with God and just put up this sign and as if to masquerade, say there's no hope, I'm giving up hope, God. I want to tell you tonight, God looks for reality. But where there's a man or a woman who's willing to finally come to this place, if I go on the way I am, there is no hope. God gives His Word. And on that ship in the 27th of Acts, listen to the words of the apostle. He says, I believe God. God has given His Word. There's no hope in me. There's no hope in my understanding. There's no hope in my efforts. I believe God. God has given His Word, and God will keep His Word. Tonight, let me tell you that God is sending a message from heaven that for guilty, helpless sinners, Christ came to Calvary's cross to suffer and to die, to do the good work that will fit a man or woman for the holy presence of God. And God's message to you tonight is, it is finished. God grant tonight you, like the apostle, might simply say, there's no hope in me. I believe God.